You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
We start the show off with how the markets have been moving throughout the day. Certainly interesting developments, largely off the back of some international developments. And I'm joined on the line by Head of Research at F&B Wealth and Investments, Chantel Marks, to take a look at the market movements. Good evening, Chantel. Lovely to speak to you again. Let's get it out the way. Let's just rip the Band-Aid off. Horrible day for the Rand. Every time Jerome Powell takes the stage, we're all concerned.
Yes, so we're the second worst performing currency among the majors today, just the Russian ruble, if you can, performing worse than us today. But generally, emerging market currencies were under pressure today. I do think that generally we had a bit of a risk-off story playing out today. And I mean, that was reflected in what we saw on the JSE as well. So mid-caps and small-caps in the financial sector coming under pressure, mainly because of that SA Inc. skew. A weak Rand, obviously not positive for them. But we did see some support coming through for the big, heavy Rand hedge shares that make up the Industrial 25. So that's sector specifically didn't do too badly, and resources helped us up a little bit, up 0.8% today. So the JSE closed 0.5% lower. I actually don't think that is too bad in the context of some really bad days that we've seen over the last 5 years or so.
So basically, it could be worse. Chantel, let's look at the resources, right? They kind of do their own thing. We'd been talking about softer commodities pricing. You and I have discussed this probably for the last month or longer to say that we're not going to really see anything happen from the resource counters until we see better commodities pricing. For the first time in a long time, palladium is back above $1,000. Platinum is holding above $1,000. What's driving the commodities pricing at the moment? Because it certainly isn't a risk on kind of approach. We know that the dollar seemingly is still strong, and we're still going to have higher for longer, according to Jerome Powell.
Yeah, so I do think that we are starting to see some action just because of the lows that we've been seeing over the last few months. So the expectation is that even though Jerome Powell was can be quite hawkish at times, the expectation is still that we are going to see interest rate cuts. We're not going to see interest rate hikes. So ultimately, you should see that weakening of the dollar come through, and that will be positive for commodity prices. And then once we start having most economies globally cutting interest rates, that will be positive from an economic growth perspective, and that will result in an improvement in demand for commodities. I think the China story is also being very closely watched. There is some signs of growth coming through in the Chinese economy, and obviously all levers are being pulled currently in order to stimulate demand there, and that will in itself also be positive for commodity prices. And then probably the final thing from a stock perspective is that commodity stocks are not expensive, probably with the exception of a few of the gold miners. Most of these guys have been under a lot of pressure, and the prospect of things possibly going better in future is now going to start being priced in by the market, or at least it could now start. We could now start seeing it being priced into the market.
This is one of those times where you have a random rally on Sasol for unexplained reasons, like we saw happen recently. Chantel, what do we then look for? I mean, clearly the message from Jerome Powell is one that's been exhausted in the market, and the market is almost tired of hearing it constantly come up that we want to see more points that point towards inflation coming down, and we want to see more data that supports that. And that rhetoric is starting to seem a little old in the market, but nonetheless, it is still being taken into account because the Rand did slide more than 1% just off the back of that.
Yeah, so I do think that we kind of stick to our guns. We want quality at a reasonable price. So I think you can probably make a lot of money off of trades going bottom picking some of the cheap and struggling shares in any market. But I think that if you are going into a space where we've seen the Magnificent Seven rally super hard, perhaps when you are looking offshore, look for US companies that have been battered a bit but are high quality companies and that you can now pick up at reasonable valuations. Similarly, in the South African context, I think that stands true as well, because even though things are looking better for the SA Inc. space, even though things are looking better from a political stability perspective, there's a lot that still needs to happen. So at this point, stick to the quality at a reasonable price narrative.
Chantal, is ArcelorMittal part of that quality? They gave us a business update, a trading update. There's a deferral of that longs business. Is this a good stock to that has been battered, or do they still have their own problems to contend with?
So I would categorize ArcelorMittal as one of the bottom picking opportunities. So the company has been under so much pressure. I mean, you can't say that it's got quality income streams right now. They've got operational issues in Funderbell Park. They are running an unprofitable business in Newcastle that is being kept open by political risk and blind faith at the moment. And they are hoping for a massive rebound in infrastructure in South Africa and in our neighboring economies. And that will drive a demand for domestic steel. And ultimately, that is something that needs to happen for this business to be viable. And if that happens, this business will do exceptionally well. But because we still have a lot of uncertainties around how things are going to play out, it's risky business at this point. The company is not in a good financial position. They are bleeding cash and they are making losses. So it could be a big opportunity, but it could also be a trap.
Well, I suppose they'll have to wait to see what Minister McPherson says around infrastructure development, because that now sits within the public works portfolio, and he's the new minister appointed for that. Chantal, I want to move to some of the international developments that we've seen. We've touched on the developments around the inflation conversation and the EC, or the central bank meeting that's currently happening in Portugal. In terms of just where international sentiment sits now, is there a sense that we can now squarely focus on a second half of the year that is putting the first half behind us? Because every time we kind of think this is where we're going, and every time we have these conversations, whether it's at the start of the year, after the first quarter, we say, okay, no, let's see after the half year. Now we're past half year. Is this now time for us to start seeing markets recover?
I think it's chaos the second half of the year, probably less chaotic in South Africa because we've actually got our elections behind us. But I think this US election story is going to be so closely watched, and I think that the market is going to react to every little thing around it. We know that we have two very interesting candidates that are being put forward as the potential next president of the United States. And both of those candidates come with a set of worries that will keep investors on their toes going into US elections. And that is only going to be concluded in November. And from what we know about the US election cycle is that we will probably only get finality on how that plays out through December into January. So I do think it's going to be a volatile second half of the year. And interestingly, I actually think it's a better spot right now where we are. So my preference right now would be to look at South African assets, to look at the JSE, to look at SA bonds, and to perhaps bring back money from offshore when we do get periodic rand weakness. And obviously taking money offshore when the rand is a little bit stronger, but noting and being aware that it could be a bumpy ride into the rest of the year.
Could be a bumpy ride into the rest of the year. Does that then apply to the rand as well? I mean, obviously with our local counters, some of them have a lot of offshore exposure. But from a rand perspective, do we then forecast anything close to 17.50 by the end of the year?
So I would expect the rand to strengthen throughout the year, just because I would expect the dollar to weaken. And obviously, if we have a little bit more domestic certainty, if we get confirmation in October that we are on track from a budget perspective, I do see the rand strengthening over the next 6 months. But we're so exposed to the external environment. And the funny thing, it's always the funniest thing to me, when stuff goes chaotic in the United States, there's a flight to safety to the United States dollar, to US treasuries. And in that instance, it will be quite negative for the rand. So we just need to be aware of that.
Lots to be aware of, especially as we go into the second half of the year. Certainly going to be an interesting time as we approach US elections, because that's still another factor that we need to contend with come November. But we'll leave it at that for now, Chantal. Lovely to speak to you as always. Looking forward to our next chat. That's Chantal Marks, Head of Research at F&B Wealth and Investments, joining me to reflect on some of the market movements throughout the day, as well as what we can expect.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.